Hey everybody, we're back. We took a little break, and by a little break I mean probably like a year break from podcasting. But then I hit Mike up and I said, hey, Podbean, the hosting company for our podcast, my credit card just got charged $99, so now we're obligated to start podcasting again, because if not, then that was $99 down the drain. So here we are, the very next day, podcasting.
Well, yeah, and for the past 4 weeks, you've kind of been hitting me up like, hey, you want to do a podcast? And I'll give you like, yeah, that sounds great, exclamation point. And then I never follow back up, but finally did get back together.
Yeah, when people ask me why we don't podcast anymore, I always squarely put the blame on you.
That's fair.
I don't beat around the bush. I say it's because Mike doesn't want a podcast. And I have toyed with the idea of starting a whole different podcast, but knowing from past experience how mad that would make you, I haven't done that. But now, you know, if we don't start stepping it up with our podcast, that's a real possibility, because I feel like I like to do every single thing you could possibly do on the internet, and podcasting is one of those.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's fair after I took a 52-week break, that if you did a different one, I don't think I could be mad.
Right. But we're back on this podcast for everyone. And I guess the first thing we should do is probably get caught up with our past year of our lives. For anyone who's listening, some of you may know us, but I would assume most of you don't know us personally to know what's been going on. So we'll start with you, Mike. In the past year, what have been some notable things in your life?
I started running, which, yeah. I hate being the guy that always talks about running.
Right.
But that is one thing that I never did that now I do.
Right. I stopped running, so you just took over for me, because back when we podcasted, I still ran. Then my treadmill broke, and now once I get a new treadmill, I promise I'll get back into it. But for now, I am definitely out of shape, but it happens.
And what's weird is, I'm sure when you were running, you probably couldn't imagine ever not running. And I was, when I could never imagine myself running.
Yeah, but you run outside or on a treadmill?
I do both. I like to do it outside if it's nice and I can get to a trail.
Okay. But all right. I never would do outside. I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe I could do that and not have to get a treadmill. But
there is a trail 1,000 feet from your house.
Drove
over.
Yeah, that's true. It's not the greatest, but I guess it would work to run on. Yeah, but that is a very... I have to say that'd be a very extremely boring thing to talk about.
Okay, running. Yeah, good point.
It's talking about running is almost as boring as running itself, which I think running is great for your health. But as far as something to talk about, I don't know that I could think of anything less interesting than that.
Yeah, it is hard to not talk about it when you're doing it.
Really?
Yeah, I've found, at least.
Okay.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. So what do you like to talk about it? Like, oh, I had my one leg go in front of the other, and then the other leg went in front, and then I sweat a bunch? Or what do you talk about? Distances, calories?
Yeah, distances, speed, calories. I like to know what other people's distances, speeds are.
Right.
Where I stack up.
Right. So back when I ran a lot, I would run 5 miles, and usually I did that in somewhere between 34 and 38 minutes.
That's insane.
That was usually my... That's better than what you're doing?
Yeah. If I do 5 miles, it's like 50 minutes.
Okay. Well, yeah. You just try to shave a little time off of that each time.
Yeah, I feel like you were doing a full-out sprint. That's pretty impressive.
It was usually like 8-point-something miles per hour. You know, what the craziest thing is, that at my peak of like... when I was like... sickly thin from running too much.
And yet people were asking you if you had AIDS.
Yeah, if you ask you if you're sick all the time. I could do the full 5 miles at 10 miles an hour as fast as the treadmill would go. Now I can't imagine doing... I mean, yeah, I had to work up to that forever, but anyway. Anything else?
Well, no wonder your treadmill was broke. What else? I journal now. I've been journaling for the past year.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore either. You do everything that I used to do.
Well, I listen to you for these podcasts. I do pay attention. And you always talked about how we should run and we should journal.
Right.
I took it to heart.
And then I just completely fell off on both of those things. But I still think they're great things to do. And I do feel like I'll come back around to them. But, I mean, that's good. You're just basically keeping a log of what you did that day?
Pretty much, yeah. And I find I have to do it the next morning immediately, or else I don't remember what I did.
Right. My problem was I was doing it right before bed, and then I would be tired and still forcing myself to do it. And it was just, I don't feel like it was a good time to do it. Maybe that's why I fell off with it. I think if I start up again, maybe I'll do it digitally. I did like handwriting. There's something cool about handwriting.
Yeah, and having that notebook.
Yeah. You know, I got all my notebooks right up there. I could pick right back up, but I feel like I would have to catch up the notebook. And what sucks is because I've done a lot of interesting things in the past year. Probably more interesting things than I did in those years and years that I kept it. But, you know, I don't know. I took some videos here and there, made some internet posts. Maybe I could sort of, in retrospect, get a summary if I decide to start again or something like that.
Well, what's a basic summary?
A basic summary is that I've done a lot of musical stuff in the past year. In the past year, I think I've done 4 different tours with Punchline, and I play in 2 other bands now, Pack and Another Cheetah, and it's basically make sure that I make music every day in one shape or form. I'm making music every day, and I feel like if whatever you want to do with your life, and that's what I've wanted to do with my life forever, and I felt like maybe it had fallen into a place where I wasn't doing that every day. Now I am, in one way or another. If I don't have something going on for one of the bands or practice or something like that, then I, at the very least, work on music on my own here, writing songs and things like that.
Do you ever have to force yourself to do it, or is it something you just can't not do?
It's something that I enjoy doing, so it doesn't really feel real forced.
Right.
Probably had one of the most fun I ever had playing music this past weekend with Punchline. We got it was an Airbnb. We called it Camp Keystone. We called it a cabin, but it was actually like a beautiful house that was north of State College, Pennsylvania, kind of in like an Amish area. And we just got up and wrote and recorded music all day, every day. And it was awesome, man, because that's what I love doing. And more than even doing it by myself, doing it with my friends is the greatest. So we took breaks to eat and stuff like that, but it was awesome, man.
Well, that's good that you ate.
Yeah, we did. We took breaks.
Did you sleep?
Yeah, we would eventually sleep. Probably not enough, but it was great. It was really great.
You said you've been touring. What's the big difference between touring and your, what are you, in your late 30s?
I sure am.
Versus, I know you did a lot of touring in your early 20s. What's the difference?
I would say that I enjoy it more than I did then. Not that I didn't enjoy it then, but I think I had too many other external factors, and I think I just wasn't as focused at the time. I think that I was like worried and stressed about 50 things, and now when I tour, I know that everything's good and that all I have to worry about is playing well and doing all the necessary things that you need to do. I feel like I have my priorities in check, and I have my little things like my air mattress and my power strip and my whatever. I have everything very organized. Never go to bed without flossing and brushing my teeth and taking my contacts out. I think that always staying in a hotel is nice. Not knowing where you're going to sleep each night is nice. It's not that big of a luxury when you're sharing a room with a bunch of dudes, but it's still, you know, it feels a little better. I mean, I appreciate it more than ever now.
So you guys stayed in hotels, opposed to before you would just crash at people's places?
We did crash at a lot of... I mean, maybe we would get hotels half the time back then, but it was definitely a lot of crashing on people's floors. Now we'll stay with somebody if we 100% know that it's a great situation and it's not awkward and it's not cramped or anything like that, then we will. But for the most part, we know, yeah, hey, we're going to go on whatever, hotels.com. We're going to find a good deal. Corey's good at that. And it just makes the whole thing nicer. And we got to do a lot of good tours, support tours. So that makes it nice too. Pressure's off us a little bit. It's more like, okay, we're along. We just got to impress the people that are already going to be at this show. You know, we would have people that come to see us too, but we weren't the headlining band, you know, so a little less pressure.
So it's more enjoyable when you're kind of opening?
I wouldn't say it's more enjoyable. I think the goal is to be the headlining band. But when you are an opener, you don't have that same pressure of, oh my God, what if people don't turn out? What if it's not? Because you know the show is going to be good, you know?
That's pretty much all I think I would worry about the whole time. Are people going
to
come?
Right. And obviously the goal is to be the headlining band. And that I wouldn't want to be an opener forever. But, you know, especially when you aren't touring as much for a while and then you come back, it's kind of like, okay, we got to do this thing again and work up and build up a fan base again of people that go to shows, because even if 5-10 years ago people would come out and see you, and even if those people still like you, they might not go to shows as much now, you know? So you got to keep that in mind and not let it get you down if you have a dip and then you have to build that back up, you know? So I don't know, man. I'm happy. I'm happy with all that kind of stuff. Punchline stuff, music in general. Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Let me think, what else? Other than running and things like in journaling with you, anything else? Anything else worth noting on a podcast?
I've been in a good relationship.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I know that, you know, when you listen back to past episodes, that was always a big subject, was that you were very open about, you know, everything from online dating profiles to your experiences to being very, very open.
Yeah, when I look back now, I honestly, like, it's like that was a different person. I don't know why I brought some of the stuff up that I did. I have no idea. It was like a different guy. Some of it I thought was kind of mean to bring up, you know, or like to be talking about everybody else on this opposed to just talking to them.
Right.
Which is weird when you look back at points in your life and you don't recognize that person, or yeah, you did stuff that you would never do nowadays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe not in the course of our podcast. I feel like I've kind of not changed that much over the course of our podcast, but, you know, that doesn't, people change at different points of their life for different reasons. But I would say, yeah, I mean, you brought up like Punchline. I think of like early touring years as compared to me now, and I've definitely I used to wear shorts like not shorts to play basketball in, I'm talking shorts like
jean shorts,
like probably like Dickies shorts and stuff like that. But yeah, I like wore shorts in public, like as if that was a normal thing to do. And now I look back at myself, I'm like, what, why were you showing your legs to the world? Nobody wants to see that, you know? And I think,
yeah, we used to all wonder at the time when we would all have shorts on, but we would be like, why is Chris wearing shorts?
Exactly.
What's up with that?
Exactly. So yeah, I look back at that, like definitely style, definitely in my overall, I don't know. I think do you think I'm different than I was in my 20s? Like, as far as the overall person?
No, but also, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you're with your pet every day, you don't really realize it's growing. But if you go away for a month and you come back, you're like, oh, my pet's way bigger now.
Okay.
So I've kind of, not that you're like, you're kind of like my pet.
Yeah.
And I haven't went away long enough to really come back and.
And you have pets that just continually grow and grow. Yes. Forever.
Yes, they are the forever growing pets.
You actually got a second cat recently, right?
I got a second cat because I felt bad for my one cat that she was all alone.
Okay.
I got a new cat that's like twice her size, and he's kind of like a dickhead. And he's always like tackling her and jumping on her. She tries to clean him. And he'll respond by clawing her in the face. And they actually grew up together about 5 years ago. They were best friends. But I think cats forget very quickly. They completely forget that they were best friends.
Okay. All right. Well, what's his name?
Dexter.
Dexter. That's cool. You have a cat sitting right next to you right now, actually. You may have not even noticed.
I did not even notice.
Yeah. She's sleeping. She's nice. That's my cat Zoe. She always hangs out where we're recording. This is my office, and that's where I have, like, you know, all my stuff to record music, and this is where I spend 99% of my day. But she is the one that is always here with me. Even though Zeke, my boy cat, is more like the one who is kind of like bonded with me, but she loves music and always likes to be around when there's music playing and stuff. So it's pretty cool. She also likes to sleep up here, and I think she likes that it's warm up here.
Yeah, but they don't mind warm, like, because I have an attic that's, it's so hot, and they want nothing more than to get up in that really hot attic.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd think with all that fur that you wouldn't, but, so something, well, it's good. I'm glad. I think that anything that's changed in your life has been for the better. If you're journaling and you're running and you're in a good relationship, geez, man, we should have been podcasting for that year, because that was like a big, maybe you just needed that year off to come back and say, hey, I did this stuff, because a lot of people were along for the ride with us. And, you know, maybe they would have liked to seen that process a little more.
I feel like it's more entertaining when things aren't going as well.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that being in a good relationship then led to some clarity or some whatever that led you to want to run and journal and do these things that, I mean, I guess it's a judgment call whether they bettered you or not, but I would think that you would think that that's an improvement in life, right?
Oh, for sure.
Or was it vice versa? Or was it that you started running and journaling and then that led you to grow as a person, which allowed you to have a good relationship? Which way?
Well, I'll give my girlfriend credit for me running, because she was a runner.
Okay.
So I think that helped.
Right.
The journaling, I think, is kind of like meditation. You kind of realize when you're being a jerk and when you're kind of off track. Helps keep you on track.
Right.
Because I don't want to write like, I did nothing. I laid in bed. I watched a season of Game of Thrones last night.
Right.
So that motivates me more to write positive things.
Right. I mean, for me, it was more just I wanted to not forget things, because when I look back, think about, like, you know, all through my 20s, touring with Punchline like crazy and all this stuff, that it's all just a big jumbled blur. And I wish I had like I could piece it together from, like, I don't know, posts I did on certain internet sites, or like looking back at tour dates that are somewhere, whatever. I could kind of piece it together, but for the most part, it is a big blur, and I wish I would have had more of a record of it. As far as, you know, this isn't a brag or something, but I can't not do anything all day. Sometimes I will hit a point, sometimes, like, say it's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Sometimes I will hit a point where it's like, okay, I'm done for the day. Not always. Sometimes I'll keep working on whatever I'm working on. But sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm done. And then maybe I'll turn on a TV or something like that, or a video game. But for the most part, I don't do that.
It is hard to, once it gets dark, to like keep going. It's real easy once it's dark to be like, I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will without a doubt, always just be like, okay, cool, awesome, is if someone, like, asks me to do something. If a friend or if Sarah or whoever, like, asks me to do something, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Because that's doing something. That's going into the world and interacting with people that I like, you know? So that's different. I will stop doing what I'm doing to do something, but not to just go sit around. I'd rather do something creative and fun. Right now, man, for me, I've had this, I shouldn't look at it as a wait. It's only a wait because it's been so long. But with Punchline, we have this music special that we've been working on pushing 2 years now, and it needs to be done. So now, like, I've really been in the zone of, like, trying to get all the segments finished because, you know, now we're starting to get ready to start the process of a new album and things like that. And this whole special kind of had, it kind of tied into our last album. So I feel like it's time. And especially since we did a crowdfunding type thing to do it, I feel like a lot of people are like, what the hell, man? Where's this special? Like,
said that?
No one's been mean about it, but people do ask about it, which they're totally right to, you know? And it's crazy because, like, to make the thing, we did this, a Kickstarter, which we had never done before, and I was a little bit nervous about, didn't know how I felt about it in general, and on top of that, didn't know if we would get funded like we needed to. So we hit our goal, which was $20,000, which is a lot of money. It went like 22, but then, to explain real fast. So
what was the average donation? You know,
I don't know what the average was, but I feel like probably in that range. I would have to do some math to figure it out. No, actually I could probably figure it out right now. I think it was like 500 some backers and with 20,000. So more like $40. Wow. Which is awesome, you know. But I just want to explain something real quick. Is that so? It ended at like 22 grand after Kickstarter took their like cut or whatever. It was like a little over 20. Now keep in mind that we had to fulfill the T-shirts and a lot of stuff. So it was like $6,000 worth of like T-shirts and things like that. That have most of that stuff's been sent out over a year ago, but. And keep in mind that some of those rewards were records and the actual like Blu-ray of the thing, which the thing isn't done yet. So those aren't even paid for yet. So now you take that down to like 13 or 14 grand. Now, just that one night of the live show, we spent all that money, like between all the people that were working on it and the place and everything that had to be done from, you know, we flew in our producer to do the live sound and all the lighting. And I mean, it was just like in one night, it was like, boom, you spent the entire thing on that one night. And which is easy. I mean, when you think about how many people were there at the actual filming of the live part of it. So then it was kind of back onto us with no budget to do all the like stuff, you know, all the like stuff other than the live show. So
wait, did you not charge people to get in?
That was one of the free admission. Yeah. Okay. It was like, oh, if you did this certain level, I think $50 was like, oh, I get a t-shirt and you get admission into the filming and this and this, that and this, you know, like it was a lot of things. So not trying to like, this isn't a sob story.
No, it's just interesting how it all works.
Just explaining why, how it went down. Like if anyone was looking at it like, what the hell, man, you guys got all that money, like, or whatever. But like, no, that money was gone.
Does Kickstarter hold anyone accountable? I mean, could I just say, hey, I'm going to put out a acoustic CD?
No, I actually don't think. I think it's just your at that point, your reputation. Like, you do, I'm sure you could get away with crowdfunding something, and then I've actually contributed to Kickstarter type things where I never got.
Like what?
A couple different music ones, you know, where it was like, oh, I'm supposed to get the vinyl of this one, and then the thing never happened, never got the record. It's whatever. Like, it's fine. But I would never want to do that, you know? I've heard lots of stories of that, but no, I don't think, like, Kickstarter or any of the other companies that do that, I don't think that, like, they hold the people. I think that's more or less your reputation.
Right.
Like, if you want to rip people off, okay, you know? But that's not...
Well, that's cool. Kickstarter's not calling you on the phone. No. Hey, what are you doing, Chris?
No, I think it's important to... And you could do updates on that site, too. It'll hit up all the people that, like, you know, hey, we're actually doing this. We promise. You know, that's... But I want to get that done. And I'm not saying that in a way like, I just want to get this thing done. I think it's going to be really good. You know, it's close now. It is really close. It's more like finishing touches. And then once on my end, I could turn it back over to the guys who were, like, the main guys who did filming and producing at the actual live show who can do, like... Some things that I'm not an expert on, like color correction and some stuff with the audio and stuff. And actually, like, you know, if there's Blu-rays of it, then setting up the menus and the way, you know, the way that stuff, that's kind of like out of my knowledge realm.
Will you try to get it on, like, streaming services?
Yeah, that's the next step, too, which everyone... I know that, like, when we made that video, we said, like, a Netflix... But, like, even in the Kickstarter video, we... That was like a lit. Not that we think that that's impossible, but more like that was like the joke of the thing is to make a Netflix special, but Netflix doesn't know about it, you know. But I think the goal is to one of the streaming sites out there do what we can to get it on there. Of course, Netflix would be great, but of course, Netflix is probably the hardest as well. But at the same time, there's a lot of weird, stupid stuff on there, you know, that I think are. That our special is going to be way better than a lot of stuff I've seen on there. So it's just a matter of, you know, I think it's just a matter of who you know. And
that's what I was going to add. Like, you just have to know the person that's in charge.
I don't know if it's going to have to be who you know or whether it's going to have to be more of, like, paying something to somebody. I don't know. I don't know, man. That's not my area of expertise, but we'll figure it out one way or another.
Well, get it on Netflix because I get Netflix. It'll just be easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do our best.
Thank you.
It's no problem. Hey, something we wanted to talk about is... Well, first of all, real quick, I want to talk about right now in this day that we're recording this is very popular in the last day or two on Facebook and social networks to post these pictures of yourself where there's this app that makes you look really old. And then it came out today that it's a Russian-owned app. So now millions and millions and millions of people have given their information to this Russian app, including me.
So what information did you have to give them?
See, I deleted as soon as I was like, oh no. Like as soon as I saw it, I deleted the app and everything. I only used it for one picture. But I think I just had to like sign up using my email and then put a password in. Like I didn't put obviously I did because you could sign in through Facebook. I wasn't signing in through my Facebook or anything. And I didn't have to put in any credit card information or anything like that. So I don't know what they could do with me other than give my email address out to whoever. But, like, I'm not really that worried about people getting my email address. But, yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Have they confirmed that it's, like, it's evil Russians? Like, it was... meant to trick people or is it just what happened?
I don't know. It was kind of more like it came out that the place where it was based out of was like pretty shady, like St. Petersburg, Russia or something like that. And it was just like, it seemed really sketchy. I saw today some things in the news about launching a federal investigation into it or something like that, which boy, oh boy.
And nothing against Russia because we have a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
In Russia.
Yeah. But there's been a lot of that's been a major American issue is Russian hacking and interference in a lot of American things. So definitely deleted that app real quick. Speaking of apps, we also have to talk about this new app called, what's it called?
Pattern?
The Pattern, which is an astrology app, which my wife Sarah told me about because she's all about astrology. I think she, I don't know if she's just very entertained by it or honestly believes in it. I think she probably honestly believes in it at this point.
I mean, it's more fun to believe in it than
Yeah, and it is eerie how accurate this... I mean, all you did was put your name, your birthday, and what time of day you were born. And then it really did say a lot of... See, same thing as going back to psychics and things like that. Is this thing just saying a bunch of stuff that in one way or another, anyone could twist and be like, well... Yeah, that relates to me. You know, like, I'm pulling mine up right here.
Yeah, when it says, like, you're very determined, well-liked, you're a good person, I believe, like, everybody was like, yeah, that's me. I'm a great...
Right.
You know, I'm a great person.
I'm trying to see, like, a thing that would... Okay, so I'll pull something... So you have it up on your phone, too?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm an expert on you, so I feel like I would know if it's
accurate. Okay, well, here, how about if I read a couple things... At random. I'm just going to pick things at random that it's telling me about myself. And you tell me, like, what percentage. So 100% would be like, that is you to a T. Or like, 0% is like, that's not you at all. Or like, 90%. That pretty much describes you. So like, one of my listings, magnetic and charismatic. When I click go deeper, let me see. Does this apply to me? And then maybe you could read me something about you that it says, and I can tell you how close that is.
Okay.
We'll do percentages.
We'll be able to figure out if astrology is real.
We will be able to. Or if the pattern has it figured out based on only knowing our day that we are born and time of day we
were born. Which they're very adamant that they need the exact time.
Yeah, I called my mom and found out I was born 11:45 p.m.
And she knew that right off the... Like,
yeah.
Isn't that... Moms just know that. It's weird.
Yeah.
But, we struggle to know their birthdays, and they know exactly what time.
Well, they were there, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, who's looking at a clock at that time?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, for me it says, but for you to feel truly authentic, aligned, and content with yourself, it's imperative that you have experiences trusting yourself as the one who inspires others and being a visionary, but not in a mainstream, typical way. What you create should be unique and out of the box.
Yeah, I feel like that's one where that could relate to everybody. No one wants to think that they're unoriginal.
Right, okay.
And I would love to know if they tell anyone you're unoriginal. You right. know?
Right.
But you're definitely creative, you know.
Well, what percentage does that apply to me?
I would say 75, just because I think it's too broad.
Right.
I need more specifics.
Okay. You want to do one of yours?
Yeah.
So I would say, Mike, if you scroll down, you'll see all those different things. Then if you click go deeper, it gives you like that list of like things you can... I would just pick one of those things at random, you know? And we'll see. What percentage? And if any of you guys get the pattern out there, which when Sarah first told me about this, her selling point was it made Channing Tatum cry. Did you know about that?
No, I mean, you told me that through a text, and I just read it and was like, all right, but what? Why did he cry?
Because because it was so accurate that he didn't understand.
And why do we know that that made him cry?
Because I think he posted a video. Of himself crying about it, maybe? I haven't seen
it. Is he like
the owner of the pattern?
Yeah, the owner?
An investor, maybe. We got to look into that. All right. Did you find something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me find a short one.
Okay.
Even when you're able to arrive at what you believe to be your final destination, it may feel like there's no relief. You still feel the same emptiness as before.
Well... I can't really even answer that one for you. You kind of got to answer that, which, I mean, I would guess that you don't feel emptiness at this point. Like, it seems like you have a lot of good things in life, and I would kind of assume that you don't still feel empty.
Yeah, I mean, like, this one is very similar to a lot of them where I'm like, yeah, there was a point in my life where that was accurate, you know, like when I was working at a business and I kept getting promotions, which was what I thought I wanted, and I was making good money, and then I was like, this sucks, this is all I do,
right?
This won't last forever anyways, it was someone used the phrase like I was climbing the ladder, but I had the ladder against the wrong wall, which I always like that. So in that essence, it's very accurate. But now I'm more like I just try to enjoy the day and don't feel there's no emptiness whatsoever.
Right.
So
that's almost a zero. That should be that's like a zero then, right?
Yeah, but if I read this 5 years ago, I would be like, this is crazy. How do they know that? You know?
Okay, like, so we'll give it a 50.
Yeah.
All right. It seems like we're both 0 for 1, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, mine wasn't 0 for. It was more like too broad to like... Okay.
Yeah.
Here, I'll try another
one. Yeah, anytime it says original or authentic, I don't like that.
I'm going to click on this one that says relationship blocks. And I'll start this by saying that I'm in a wonderful... if they're talking about, like, love... because relationship could also just mean, like, interpersonal relationships with people. It doesn't have to mean, like, a love relationship. As far as that goes, like, I got no complaints. Like, you're not going to find a happier person than me in that department. So once they start getting into that stuff, I'm like, well, this definitely doesn't apply to me. But
I really hope it says something like, you want to just be alone.
Now, here's what it says. It says, I just clicked on one of the things it says at random. It says, in a way, you might even rely on your partner as your source of fun. When you're with them, it's your chance to shake off your responsibilities and feel free. Well, once again, that I feel like that's such a broad general. Is it like, wouldn't everyone when they're with...
Yeah, plus I'm sure when you're doing most of your like leisure activities, like parties or going places, you're obviously going to take your significant other.
Right.
You know, opposed to when you're working, she's working.
Right.
You
know? Right. So...
Is there another one? That's too...
All right. I mean, that's another broad one. Okay. Okay, let me read this one. It says, in public, your partners may seem clever and a blast to be around. Others perceive them as lighthearted and funny, but behind closed doors, they tend to be controlling and critical of you and your creative expression. Others don't see the relationship as it really is.
I had no idea. So that's...
This is 0%.
So now they're predicting your Sarah. This isn't even about you. This is about
on top of that, this is like when you had that psychic on and was saying that there was someone in my family who was in the middle, like there was nobody. This could not be further. Yeah, Sarah is lighthearted and funny. She's also that way behind closed doors. She is the least controlling person and the least critical of me and my creative expression. You'll never meet a person who's more supportive of my creative expression. This is very bad. This is very off.
Yeah, and I mean, how do they think they can guess your partner?
Yeah, it's very, very strange. I don't know, man.
Based on the time you were born, you know?
Yeah.
All right, that actually might be minus 50.
Yeah, that's as off as your phone psychic was.
Which I do like that I was before was the one that was presenting like the psychic things, and now you're presenting the astrology. I'm running and journaling, and you're all about astrology.
And I'm about nonsense astrology. all right, read another one about you. Let's see.
Okay. If you don't feel appreciated, you might react by giving even more. Be wary of partners who want you to play this role while offering nothing in return. You may quickly find yourself drained, exhausted, and codependent. I mean, who doesn't want to feel appreciated? And if they're not, who's not going to try to be appreciated? That's what I'm thinking. I do like to be liked, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But as I've... Isn't everybody?
Man, oh man. I felt like when we were reading these things yesterday, like, oh my God. Now today I'm reading these. Okay. Listen, this is one about me under my complex and analytical thing. It says, not one to sell out, you live by your own code. Your integrity means you honor your instincts, aren't swayed by others, and don't care about the latest trends. that is pretty generic too. Like, I would feel like...
I feel like for that to apply, you would have to have dressed the same exact way for the past, like, 20 years and never evolved.
It doesn't necessarily... I don't even think it's, like, the way you look. It's more, like, who you are. Like, I'm not... But... And I do think that that's kind of true. Like,
yeah, that's what I've...
But...
It's kind of good.
My integrity means I honor my instincts. Yeah.
But who doesn't?
That's why aren't swayed... Like, this... Even if this... Regardless of, like, what level of true this is about you... Wouldn't it seems to me like most people I know would want to at least think of themselves this way, you right, know?
Exactly.
So I don't know. The next thing it says about me is your way of thinking is different from the mainstream, and you need space to process and find inspiration. You may want to carve out a place where you could be alone and reflect. Being in nature is a great way to connect with yourself.
Big red X on that. I don't.
Yeah.
You and nature, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not.
They're synonymous.
No, not really. I mean, nature's cool. I like nature as much as anyone else, but. And I do like to be alone sometimes and get space and things like that. But. Yeah. This is not good.
Yeah, because, I mean, at some point, everybody likes to be. Alone, I assume.
Mike, I think the pattern might be wrong. I think it might be off. I'm gonna tell you another thing that's crazy is I feel like lately things in general have been pretty good and stuff, and it's Mercury retrograde right now. Usually, like, it always seemed like all kind of bad stuff was happening during that, but it's been pretty good lately. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I've been on the phone with Verizon like every other day because my phone doesn't work. But I think that's just because my brother sold me a shitty phone opposed to Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm now a huge skeptic again. I felt like for a few days there, I was like, dang. No, I don't know.
So, I wonder what the difference was when you read it by yourself versus reading it out loud.
I mean, it could have just been, like, we're hitting things at random, and maybe it was, like, those things that we just read would have been things... Well, I don't know. I wasn't under the impression that you ever, like, thought it was right on about you. You never said that. I did, though. I said it about myself. But now, like, reading things at random, I'm like, no, this ain't right. So... There you go. We debunked astrology.
Yeah, no, when I read it last night, I wasn't blown away, which I have been blown away by similar things, but
yeah.
Not. But it's called The Pattern. It's a free app if you want to download it and see.
If you want to download it, hopefully it's not run by, like, Russian hacker bots.
If it is, they know what time you were born.
Yeah, true. That very, very important information that they would need. So Mike, moving forward, do you think we're going to keep podcasting?
I think we will, short term. I think it'll be interesting to see, the long term. That always seems to be our problem.
Yeah. Cause I think that I am, and whether you want to do it or not is the question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would never be, hurt if, you know, if I didn't want to do it and you, I would actually want you to continue to do it. Cause I would like to still listen to you. I guess my biggest fear would be if I was replaced or you just did a different podcast, if you became rich off of it,
yeah,
I would want to come back.
Okay. Getting rich from doing a podcast seems like the furthest thing from reality ever. So don't think you'd really have to worry about that. So what you're saying is you'd like to take a somewhat small step back.
I haven't really thought about it. I just wanted to come and do today. And, you know, I'm just trying to live in the moment.
All right. Well,
I know before we were talking about different formats.
Right.
And one of them, I think, was to write a script.
Yeah, I like that one.
Which I couldn't commit to that because I would have just, let you down.
The thing about that idea was you didn't have to come, you would have come to the podcast in the same, you didn't really have to prepare anything. Maybe one just overarching idea. The idea would have been to come up with the idea on the podcast. For anybody's listening, the idea was to come up with ideas for a show or movie and then hash out that idea live on the podcast. And then at the end of the year, decide which one of those is the best idea. And then from there, try to maybe while on the podcast, explore that idea further and get, and then at the end, say at the end of a year of podcasting, you'd have some sort of, well thought out written idea that then the next idea would be to shop that idea around or to get other people on the team who are had an expertise in a certain area of writing or producing or things like that. So I don't know. That was one idea that I thought was pretty good.
No, it was a good idea. I just didn't feel like I was the, I guess it's just a lack of confidence that I have a lot of creative ideas. I feel like from doing this podcast, we've probably done 50.
I think we've done 80-some.
80-some? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm probably about a 50-some, like, idea, creative guy. I feel like I might be out, you know?
Your ideas are all gone. What do you got left? 50. What do you got left? Running.
I can just run and enjoy other people's ideas.
Gotcha.
And be kind and nurturing, according to that astrology app.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
If everybody chased their dreams to be creative, like say every single person, like the world would just be chaos.
Well, not everyone's dream is to do something creative, right? Or am I wrong about that?
I feel like probably 50% of people would want to do something. If given a choice, they would probably rather be an actor than a factory worker.
Yeah, but that's not what I mean. When you say creative, it doesn't have to mean like making music or TV shows or anything. Creative could be like, you can be creative and no matter what your career is or whatever your passion is, could be creative in a different way. You could be I'm trying to think of an example. If you're a salesperson, you could be creative within that in how you present yourself or how you pitch what you're selling or whatever. Or if you're but then there are probably people that be satisfied in doing something practical and getting a job done. I guess I always relate, no matter what someone's doing. If you're a hairdresser, you're creative. If you're a, but you're saying a factory worker wouldn't be creative, which I guess, I mean, the person could be creative, but the job in itself probably. But you're creating something at that factory. So is that in turn? No, not if you're doing a specific, like.
Yeah, you're just putting the sticker on it that says the price.
Okay.
Or you're the guy holding the sign that says stop and flips it around and says go. Like, you're.
Because then you would get satisfaction from a hard day's work and
I feel like
getting the job done and
the paycheck.
Yeah.
No one's going to go flip that sign around just because it's their passion. Mm. But I guess I do overassume that everybody, I guess a lot of people don't want to be creative.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess I always just picture everybody wants to be creative in one way or another. It doesn't have to, and the way you're creative doesn't have to be your career. You know? You think there are people out there that just aren't creative and don't want to be creative? I mean, I guess yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be the answer to that. I don't think that's you.
I guess it's not.
I don't think you're that.
I always compare myself to like the person who's super creative, and I'm like, well, I'm not that, so I'm not that at all. Opposed to looking at all the other people who don't want to be creative at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you love playing sports, then that wouldn't be considered creative, right?
You can be creative within the sport, but no, I would not say that's
athletic.
Yeah.
Is athletic and creative different? No, because you can be creative in your play calling or your moves on the court or your... Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. No, I look at creative as like dealing with the arts, like music, writing, comedy, things of that nature.
Acting. So are creative and artistic two different things? To be artistic, you get... Wait a second. Let me think about that. To be artistic, you could be artistic and not be creative, I guess. You could be good at designing and things like that, designing practical things. But nah, that would still require creativeness no matter what you're doing, right?
Yeah, so I think you can be creative but not be artistic. But you can't be artistic and not be creative. It's like the square and rectangle.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But what if you were just tracing something? Then you're not. I guess if you're just tracing something, you're not necessarily an artist. You're a tracer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot of tracers.
Yeah.
Or people who that was their dream.
Yeah.
It's not. I wasn't a great tracer. It is a skill.
Yeah, a skill. True. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go home and trace.
Okay. Yeah. You work on that, and I'm just glad that we podcasted again, because it's been way too long.
Yeah. This is how I learn everything about you.
But I think that I am gonna make the commitment to keep podcasting now, and what I'll do is always invite you.
I like that.
But if you can't go, if you can't come to when I'm podcasting, or you don't want to, then you don't have to. So you're kind of like, you're a freelance co-host at this point. So you could come and co-host every episode. But if I want to do an episode, I give you a little bit of notice, and then it's up to you.
I like that. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. And where I take the podcast from here on out is, it's up to me.
Well, I'm excited to see where it goes. I have high hopes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You should, because I'm going to take this podcast to places it's never been. Going to become really rich from this podcast. Hopefully rich enough to cover the $99 a year to Podbean. And,
could you imagine making over $99 doing this and just breaking even?
Yeah, I can't imagine that. That's probably possible.
I think that's podcast rich, though, if you can break even.
Yeah, if you're podcasting, you're doing it for the love of podcasting. You're not doing it because, I mean, who's getting rich from podcast? Marin?
Probably. Rogan.
Yeah. They got those HelloFresh ads and stuff, but that's about the only people getting rich from a podcast.
Yeah, those NPR people.
Yeah, but that's, well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they're making a few bucks. They got it. If you have an advertiser, you're making a few bucks.
And they have, I'm guessing, like full-time employees.
Yeah, true. Like that. True. But anyway. All right, well, I guess we covered all that we're going to cover this episode.
Yeah, I'm happy with that podcast.
All right. All right, see you later, everybody. I'll be coming at you. I don't know if Mike's going to be here or not. We're going to see. But I am working on, I have a few ideas of a new format for the podcast moving forward. I do not know that it will be called Men in Their 30s Only anymore. This might be the final episode called that. But it will definitely still continue on this feed. It's just the episodes might be called something different. And so you don't have to like resubscribe or anything. We'll keep it going on here. I don't even know how to log into our website to update it. So this will only be on the feed and I'll post a direct link to this podcast. And that's all.
Bye.
All right. Peace.